Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hands in. Problem three.
Should we just go straight into it?
Let's just go into it.
Let's do it. Yeah, right. We're streaming now on Facebook Live. We're about to do the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast on Sunday, the, 30th of October. You'll be listening to this probably on Monday or so, at some point this week.
Boys, yeah, and also, boys, we have to have the hands in because someone's just actually requested it.
Oh, well, if they requested it.
The hands in.
Hands in. No. Come on, reach, Phil. Come
on. I've pulled a glute.
I pulled it back.
I pulled a glute.
Hands in, metaphorically, pod on three. One, two, three.
Pod.
Hello, Egg Chasers. This is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the number one rugby podcast. Cast made by people who just love the game of rugby but don't take it or themselves or the game too seriously. I'm Tim, that is JB.
Hello, Tim.
That is Philip.
Hello, Tim.
We are just three mates who love the game, and we're going to talk about everything around the game of rugby as we build up to the Autumn Internationals, as we look back on a weekend of domestic rugby and all sorts of other stuff in between. Remember, as people already are and are leaving comments and messages on Facebook, that's where we're streaming live right now. And Sunday nights is normally where you can find us. We normally bob out a little message. Just follow us, Egg Chasers, and then you'll get a little alert and tell your mates and all the rest of it. Yeah, so leave your comments and stuff on Facebook. If you're listening to the podcast in the normal fashion on iTunes or Acast, then tweet at Rugby Podcast with your reactions to the podcast and leave a review on iTunes. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it. If you just take a moment to do that. For example, Menges, relaxed and unforced, no false banter or cheesy pranks here. Three friends genuinely love rugby, have the wit and knowledge to make you wish every podcast was 3 hours long.
Exactly.
This one won't be. Meh to the meh says, this is literally three guys shooting the breeze about rugby. The guys are just chatting in a man cave, and what a man cave.
Yes, it is.
So easy to listen to. Very knowledgeable too. Plus, there's hardly any chat about the Pro 12, which is great because it's a second-rate league anyway. Ooh. Ooh. Oh, and I now, thanks to these boys, I can't go a day without saying, on debut! I wonder if there'll be any Aussies on debut. And finally, Tavers99 says, firing on all cylinders, five-star review, and says, it's the best apprentice podcast with occasional rugby coverage. Yeah, we did get into the apprentice a bit last week, didn't we?
Did we? I don't remember that. Oh, yeah, we did. We really got into it.
More than we should have done.
Probably, yeah. So this week we've got, I've prepared a rugby social. One of you's prepared a quiz, right?
I have.
Oh, good man, Phil. And we've got lots and lots to talk about. This is also going to be a week when, if you follow us on Facebook and Twitter, you're going to get some behind-the-scenes British and Irish Lions action.
Yes.
Because we're going to be at the, I mean, lovely, lovely polo shirt you got on there, Phil.
It's very nice.
Lions top.
I spoke about my the track top I was wearing the other week, about the little details on it. The little details on this really make it stand out. There's a little embroidered NZ2017 thing on there. There's
beautiful.
Some embroidered dashes on the back.
It's all about the details. It
really has made such a difference.
Well, we're going to be spending a little bit of time with Gats.
You two will be. I'm unfortunately in work.
Yes. We'll be spending some time with Warren Gatland. And you're right there, JB.
No, I'm not. I'm very confused about some things. I'm not sure if anyone can hear us or not. I'm waving. I don't know. Anyway, let's just carry on podcasting.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So we'll be spending some time with Warren Gatland on Tuesday, so just keep an eye on Facebook and Twitter and all the rest of it. Right, where do you want to start? Because, I mean, I will just put a little caveat in before I start the podcast. I've spent the last 5 days away in Greece, and I've got back about, well, landed back in Manchester about 20 minutes ago. Yes.
And your travel schedule sounds like a nightmare. You've been up since basically 4 a.m. today.
Pretty much, yeah. It was stuck on the tarmac, which is lovely. You know, if you're going to get a delay, what you want is you want to get put onto the plane, into your seat, and then find out you've got a 2-hour delay. That's what you want. So, yeah, lovely. But annoyingly, they made up just enough time to mean I can't get any sort of refund. But there you go.
Yeah, they push They push you through. I'm actually chasing a refund from Vietnam Air. I'm owed about £400, something like that.
Yeah, good luck with that, mate.
They just refuse. Yeah, they just completely refuse to pay any refunds.
Yep, good.
Good.
Rugby.
Yes.
I've caught up with as much as I can.
I've watched virtually everything.
Yeah, oh, good man. I've watched a lot of it. Probably just under enough to be knowledgeable.
So we've got the Autumn Internationals to build up towards. How about, I'm going to pose a question. Okay. So Exeter Bath I caught up on.
Yeah.
On the wing for England, Rocadogooney or Yard? Because it's probably going to be Marlon Yard.
Well, it's a very interesting question because the two incumbents are both injured.
Precisely.
Watson and Noel.
Mm-hmm.
And where do you go? Yeah, like you say, in Australia, the first test, I think Yard played, didn't he, when Noel was out? So he would be the most obvious choice. However, I can say from personal experience, because I've got them both in my fantasy rugby draft team, Yard is not playing well and Rocadogooney is playing very, very well.
Yeah, Yard's not played well for a long time. He does some very strange things, like there's a little chip around. On the weekend, he kind of just put it on his toe. He's not a very skillful player. Well, you know, I think when you're that naturally gifted, you don't need to really work on your skills too much.
It depends what you mean by skills. As a elusive runner, he's very, very good.
Yeah, but that's just a gift, isn't it? That's just a talent.
But he's not even been doing that particularly well.
He hasn't been changing direction like a bumblebee these days.
Yeah, housefly. Yeah.
Housefly.
And when you compare him to Tim Visser on the other wing, who's looking in absolutely tremendous form.
He is, isn't he?
For Quins, that is. It does, and Mike Brown indeed in that back three is playing very well. Yard's not standing out at all, whereas Rocco, I mean, not only did he score that last minute try, but this week, but his performances all season have been consistently outstanding. So you'd say Rocco, based on form in the Premiership, is in there.
How about the consistently world class Johnny May?
Well, Johnny May,
he'll be on the left wing.
Who I saw this weekend,
was he consistently world class again?
He looked outstanding.
He did. Do you know what he's... In the bits I've seen, tell me if I've got this right, because as I said, I didn't see the whole game. But he looks like he's as quick, but maybe like a little bit more powerful than he was.
It's an interesting injury to come back from, because it was his knee ligament, wasn't it? So it's a very... Ooh. For someone so quick, it's very difficult. But it looks like he's rehabbed very well, because, yeah, he looked powerful. He was changing direction very well. And when he gets... He only got a handful of opportunities in that pretty dull game on Friday night. Or I thought it was a dull game on Friday night. He did look very good.
Tell me this. Why is all the talk about Johnny May when actually it's his mate on the other wing that seems to score every game?
Who? Sharples.
Sharples. Every game. And they look kind of similar.
They both wear those long... Are they both still wearing long cycling shorts?
Yeah, long cycling shorts. Yeah. Especially when May shaved his head. They look very similar.
Johnny May has his socks up, or they both have their socks down.
Both have their perennial sock down wearers.
Yeah, they are.
You know, it all stacks up.
He had a few chances a few years ago, didn't he? But never really done anything since then for England.
Well, he's never been picked. I mean, I'm not saying he should be picked, but he has never been picked.
Hmm.
Do you know how many tries he's scored?
I think he's got about 5 this season, I guess. Look.
Well, that'll be equal to Jamie George, top try scorer in the Avicii Premiership.
Yeah.
I'm just looking him up now.
Is another question while you're doing that. Is Jonathan Joseph the player he was 2 seasons ago?
Interesting question.
Because when was the last time you actually saw Jonathan Joseph beat someone on the outside on an outside break?
He used to be so good at, and he keeps getting caught now.
He tried doing it in the last few minutes against Exeter. He tried going outside Henry Slade, and Henry Slade tracked him pretty comfortably. I'd say attacking is a question mark. It's probably he's defended more tightly now because people are aware of how potentially how good he is. But the best players, everyone knows how good they are, and they still do things. I do think his all-round game is still pretty good. As in, he's an intelligent kicker, which a lot of people probably don't give him credit for. His hands are generally good, and his defence is pretty good because he's not the biggest centre in the world. So I think I would still have him as my starting outside centre. And the other option is Elliot Daly, who is excellent in every single department apart from his defence.
Yeah,
big question marks over Elliot.
Well, here's one question then, as because it leads us towards the autumn internationals, and we'll talk about some of the rugby that's been going on as JB's pressing more buttons. What's going on?
The lights are changing.
No, we're not changing the lights yet until the quiz comes on.
No, the camera.
Oh yeah, don't you worry about it. Don't worry about it.
Camera. All right, good.
It's a little distracted, isn't it?
Courtney Laws is the latest England forward out of the autumn internationals.
Which means you've got three second rows. Who would probably be named one, two, maybe three, maybe four on the same sheet.
You've got a captain and hooker, barely match fit. You've got three frontline second rows out.
Yeah, and you've got no seven.
You've got no seven. So Eddie Jones must be having a little bit of a headache. So I thought we can collectively help Eddie out, pick his pack for him, and just make his life a little bit easier. He can just crack on with just dominating besides. So we'll pick his pack. So big question. Does Dylan Hartley, because of his captaincy, deserve the hooker spot?
Good question again. There are lots of good questions today. I will say this. Austin Healey made a very interesting point about him not actually caring much to play for Northampton. And he then made it twice. So once was in print in the Telegraph, and the second time was actually on match day. And he said that basically, Dylan Hartley, it's very suspicious how he's just getting fit for the autumn internationals, and that maybe he needs to have more priority placed on his club game and less on his international game. Stinging.
Interesting. That it's interesting. I mean, he is the England captain, so his top priority should be England. But with that said, he's also, I believe, club captain of Northampton, so it's got to be pretty high priority. I think it's Healy reading it a little bit too much into this. I think he's just been unfit, and the timings of his fitness haven't been great over the last year. He has come back to fitness around the Six Nations, around the Australia tour, so he hasn't played for Northampton that much. But I think Healy's reading far too much into it.
Do you pick Hartley? South Africa, big physical test.
Yeah.
You pick Hartley. Do you pick Hartley?
No.
Providing he's fit, I do pick him. As in, he's properly fit. Yeah.
Do I pick him? I would say, as much as I like him, and I do like him a lot, I think he's probably one of the main reasons England play like they do now. I would say I'd probably go with Jamie George. Okay. There again, if you bring Jamie George off the bench as an impact sub, he's some impact sub.
Yeah. No, the reason I have him is for his captaincy ahead of all else, because I think he's demonstrated the leadership he can bring and the decision making in tough spots against Australia in the summer tour. He had a few difficult decisions to make and made them correctly. And I don't know who you'd revert to if he's not the captain on the field.
I go Hartley for continuity. And Mako, obviously, is the one. And
100% Mako.
Tighthead, Dan Cole, sorted.
Yes.
Done.
Although I still think that it would be nice to have one of those young boys pushing Dan Cole quite hard on the tighthead spot. It'd be nice to get someone Dan Cole a bit more.
Yeah, I don't think there's any other option.
No. Dan Cole starts definitely.
So that's our front row. Right, here we go then. Second row. Launchbury gets the number four shirt.
Yeah.
I think it's important to have that kind of balance. So is Atwood just more of the same? And is that an imbalance in that kind of England second row pairing?
I don't think so. They're both outstanding locks, actually, and they both do get round the park quite a bit. You could, you've not really seen it much, but you could potentially play either of them as a auxiliary back row because their work rate is so good. So I would say you wouldn't actually lose anything by having Atwood. And if you saw the game today, Atwood had a try disallowed where he went in from about 30 yards and stepped Henry's lead.
30 yards, more like, yeah.
It was outside the 22 when he received the ball.
Was it really?
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, but what about the line-out game? Does that weaken that at all?
Good question.
Because South Africa will come hunting that.
Good question.
I'm just killing it with the questions
with your
today.
Questions. That's
that's all I can do is ask the questions because I haven't seen all the rugby this weekend.
Because you obviously do miss a line-out. You don't have an eight who's a line-out forward.
Yeah.
Because Billy Vunipola doesn't jump like a Sergio Parisse or a Kieran Reid, for example.
But he does go up for Saracens.
Yeah, but only occasionally. They never actually throw the ball to him. He's always a dummy jumper. Because it's difficult to lift someone who's 20,
so sorry, go back to the second row. Do you pick Atwood and Launchbury as your locks?
I don't think they've got another choice, really. Outside of that, I think the next one down would be Michael Patterson.
Kitchener?
Kitchener might be in the shit.
Slater? Yeah.
But they're not even in the squad, are they?
No.
So who's the other guy in the squad? There must be someone else.
Well, there's five in the squad and three of them are injured.
Yeah, but they must have called someone else up now, no?
Well, they've called up Tom Wood, obviously as a back row, but he is a line-out specialist as a back row.
Yeah.
So that might suggest that you're going to go with the two heavier guys.
Well, Tom Croft's got to make his push for the Lions at some point. So it makes sense when call him up.
When did he last play a game of rugby?
I don't think it matters, does it?
Lions is coming. All right, so we've got Atwood, we've got Launchbury, and our back row is Billy, Rob Shaw. Because Rob Shaw's not a seven, can't put him seven under any circumstances.
Well, Eddie Jones seems to have gone back on that a little bit in the week.
Yeah.
I read his comment that said he's still got the 6.5 jersey, so that extra half point moving up to seven isn't really a big step. So he's going back on basically everything he's previously said. Don't think it matters too much, but he kind of made a rod for his own back by making such a big deal out of it, didn't he?
Well, he never thought he'd get the England job, I guess.
So we'll go Rubshaw and Vunipola and...
Rubshaw, Vunipola and...
He hinted that Harrison was the main guy.
Do you know who I'd give a go to if he was fit? And he's not been fit, he's only just really come back. But Callum Clark...
If he can, yeah, he's only had a couple of games.
I like that boy a lot.
Yeah, he's very hard working.
Abrasive.
I'm not sure. Yeah, but I'd like international. I want like a Rolls Royce type
Pascal
player.
Yeah, but he's injured.
Rolls Royce type. Abrasive seven. Who else could they look at?
Well, I think the other option is actually moving Robshaw to seven and then play possibly Nathan Hughes.
Yes.
Well, that was what I was going to say. What are the options that Nathan Hughes brings?
Another ball carrier, so Robshaw will have to do even more work.
Yeah, but that's what he's good at, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. And you've got those two second rows, they put in big shifts as well. So you can have the option of Nathan and Billy both ball carrying. Mm. I like that. Mm. I very much like it.
That's a little thing then. So I'm talking to Twitter at Rugby Podcast. And to people streaming on Facebook Live right now, just your England pack, and we can come back and we'll go through some of those. Or next week when we build up to the South Africa game, we'll go through some more of those. So,
just one further point about Nathan Hughes playing. It actually does take a lot of pressure off Billy. Because Billy is so overutilised. I mean, we highlighted during the Six Nations that... in virtually every game, he himself carried for more metres than the entire rest of the England pack, including the subs.
I tell you what you should be more excited about are the carrying prospects of his brother.
Yes.
If he starts carrying, even half as well as Billy, having a Billy and a half is an amazing prospect. Well, and then a Nathan Hughes.
Nathan Hughes, yeah, you've almost got 2.5 Billies.
Yeah.
He is carrying very well. But Billy, again, he's in my fantasy draft team. I'm terrified because he does so much work. I'm terrified he's going to get injured.
Yep, rightly so. I mean, every England fan should be terrified about the health of Billy Vunipola.
And if he's in your fantasy team, be even more terrified.
Exactly.
I feel like I can only imagine the amount of stress that Mark McCall must go through.
Oh, yeah. Well, imagine, Imagine the stress that he's under now because he's lost Itoje and Cruz. You can lose one of them, sure, no problem. And Hargreaves.
Yeah, yeah. They desperately need. I mean, they've been linked now with Will Skelton, potentially.
Really?
Yeah.
Weird one.
Well,
they just need a world class operator
for a month.
Yeah,
for a month.
A couple of months, short term deal.
It's interesting.
So it's who's available short term, and Super Rugby doesn't start for another 2 months. If he's not in the, Australian squad. Therefore, he is available for a couple of months.
Is it nearly Super Rugby time again?
Yeah, it's end of January, isn't it? It starts February. Yeah. Normally starts about the same time as the Six Nations.
I was thinking today, what's the best job in rugby? This is a genuine question.
Okay.
best job in rugby.
If you're a
rugby.
Player, which is the best job?
If you're a player?
Yeah.
Player.
So obviously you want to be a marquee player, right?
Because you got the big salary.
Yes.
But you don't really want to be a marquee player in France.
No.
Because you have to play every second of every single game.
Yeah.
And you want to be important enough that they drop you for the small matches, but not so important that you play international rugby.
Yes. So, for example,
No, but the best job in rugby, you'd want to play international rugby.
Yeah, that's true.
You would, but would you turn down being Nick Evans? I mean, he's got. I tell you who I think might have the best job, certainly in the Premiership, might be Jimmy Gopeth, because they don't. Potentially, when everyone's fit, he's only going to play every other week. So it's not particularly dangerous compared to other people. He must be one of the marquee guys.
No, he's not.
Is he not?
No.
And he's on a very, very healthy salary.
Well, he won't be on Cipriani money.
Do you not reckon?
Well, no.
I think he will.
No, because he was brought there as a second choice, wasn't he?
Yeah. Surplus to requirements elsewhere.
Danny Cipriani was brought... No, sorry.
No, Gopeth was brought there as second choice, wasn't he?
No, he was brought as first choice.
From Leinster?
He was second choice behind Goode, wasn't he?
No, that's why Goode left.
No, he had a season. He brought a season with Goode starting and Gopeth behind him. He was brought as second choice.
Gopeth started last year, right? Goode left last year.
Yeah, but the year before...
He wasn't there the year before. That was his first year. So
15, okay, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely right. It was. Okay. Hear me now, believe me later. Now that I know I'm right, I'll get a lot more bullshit. Told you, Phil.
Okay, so he'll be on decent money.
Yeah, because he came from like ex-European champions, and actually,
but he was never starting there.
I would say best job in rugby is being either the All Black captain or All Black star player. Yeah, absolutely. Or being the All Black an All Black superstar. So that they spend 2 years wrapping you in cotton wool, not letting you play, and then easing you into it, ready for a World Cup.
Yeah.
Count up the number of games Richie McCaw and Dan Carter played between World Cups.
And Conrad Smith, all three of them had six-month sabbaticals.
Yeah.
Well, when I tried to...
Love it.
Drew Mitchell, right? He said, since he's at Toulon, I don't know if it's changed, but since he's been at Toulon, he's not made a single tackle in training. So maybe it's been one of those boys.
Yeah, that is quite good.
It's not bad as well. Yeah, I finished training. I'm just going to go and sit and drink coffee on the seafront, on the med.
Yeah.
Oh, be all right, that. Be all right. That was a good question, JB.
Yeah, I just thought that.
Best job in rugby?
Great questions.
Yeah.
Podcasters are the best job in rugby.
Without a doubt.
All of the fame, none of the risk. so glamorous.
Yeah, you got recognised at your...
Oh yeah, played at Thorns and Cleveland, who are nice bunch of lads, and I actually got recognised. Laughably, they didn't recognise Phil. Go on then, Tim.
What do you mean, go on then, Tim? All right, well, I'm going to mention I've written down a couple of things that need to be mentioned. English, one story that emerged in the week, there's been a resolution and English-based Scottish players are free to join the national squad for the full 2 weeks in the build-up to the autumn internationals. Mm. Greg Laidlaw gave a little comment to the press on this, which was... Uh, he, he, Oh, I've just lost the clip. Ah. I've ruined it now. Greg Laidlaw gave an interview to the press and had this to say. If your Wi-Fi will work, JB.
It's so rubbish.
It's so not worth the build-up now. It would have been good if I'd done it straight away.
Why don't you do what Greg Laidlaw would say if being impersonated by Jonathan Spratt?
He would go, well, in a Scottish accent, no, he'd say this.
I wonder how much freedom he'll get at Claremont's.
Yeah, not too much.
I mean, they're famously reasonable.
You get a lot of financial freedom. Yeah. You can pick whichever house he wants on that part of in that part of France.
And he can travel anywhere he wants in the world in the 4 weeks of rest he gets over the summer in between the final and the season starting again.
Did anyone watch the Gloucester game?
I did.
What do you think?
Wholly unimpressed by Northampton.
Oh my god, yeah.
Besides King Louis.
Yeah,
if they didn't have King Louis, they would be an utter shambles.
Yeah, completely agree. I was thinking, again, another one of my silly little thoughts. Who do you think are the two most important signings are this year for clubs?
Well, King Louis.
King Louis, 100%.
Easy.
But well, I think that's only an important signing if Northampton do anything. But well, are they going to do anything?
They would be scrapping with Gloucester.
Relegation fodder, potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really would be. The way that they're playing. They've got the personnel, but they're just not playing right. I said previously, and you scoffed at it, I think that's one of the most important Premiership signings ever, is King Louis to Northampton.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the other guy who I think is absolutely vital and hasn't had enough praise is Colin Fotualihi.
Yeah. Oh, he has got
him showing up at Bath has completely reinvented that entire side.
And how? Yeah. But I think looking at him playing for Bath again puts another little question mark or asterisk next to Jim Mallinder, because what was he not able to get out of him at Northampton?
Yeah.
Well, I thought he played well for Northampton.
He always played well for Northampton. Mm. There is a key difference that Ford is a better all-round 10 than Myler.
Yeah.
That is unquestionable.
But Fotualihi seems to have gelled that whole team.
He won a premiership with Northampton, didn't he?
Yeah, and he's such a better player than the two guys behind him, Chris Cook, who I've not heard a peep off.
No.
And matter what, is he even still alive? Is he around?
I've not seen him in the squad at all. It's been
maybe he's got the best job in rugby. He'll be getting a few quid.
Yeah.
Well, it's been Will Homer who's been starting on the bench.
Yeah.
Starting on the bench. He's been second choice.
I'll tell you one scrum half who I hope we don't see for a little while, Mickey Young of Newcastle. Did you see his little dive?
No.
I've not seen it. I like Mickey Young as well.
Yeah, there was a ruck. It's a little clip I've seen online. It was a ruck, and he faked getting tripped. And stacked it, and the ref just said, "Get up, carry on."
Yeah.
So we'll see if the simulation thing happens afterwards. But it probably wasn't enough for a yellow. But yeah, you should penalise it if the ref sees it.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't have to be a yellow.
Just embarrass him.
Yeah, yeah, they should get booed.
Yeah. They should be putting stocks.
Rotten fruit.
Yeah, rotten fruit and stocks.
Yeah.
And another little moan I'll have, just going back to the Exeter Bath game. I thought Ugo Monye had a brilliant shout when he said these scrums are longer than a Monday.
Wow.
The referee in that particular game didn't really get in on top of that.
Have been some yellow cards dished out right at the end to Exeter.
Yes.
Then they should have been yellow carded off the park and penalty try.
Yeah.
Then we'd be denied the spectacularness of the finish
from Ford and Rocco.
Oh,
it was brilliant, wasn't it?
I thought that we were going to see a pushover try,
yeah,
which would be the best sort of try.
You love that. I was thinking of you when I was watching that final
camped
five,
in
ten
the 5
minutes.
Metres. Oh, yeah. And you get one thing wrong and it's over.
The pressure
one
turn building.
Over.
It was because the first 60 minutes weren't particularly good.
Yeah,
And it seemed like it was good conditions, but neither team were willing to risk either going very wide or playing an offloading game or anything like that. They were both just keeping it really tight, kicking.
It was 60 of the worst minutes of rugby that I've ever seen. followed by maybe five really good minutes.
And yeah. Exeter's season now, in all competitions, wins 2, draws 1, defeats
5?
8.
8? Oh. 8 defeats.
2 wins in 10.
You know, I was having a conversation with someone about this on Thursday, and to me, I just think the signings are wrong. I think they bought good players in.
The same signings that pre-season you were saying they were going to go, we're going to go and take them on even further.
Yes, yeah. I thought they'd be a better incarnation of last year's team. Because that's what, historically, they've done. They've always improved little by little.
Well, they are missing Ewers and Armand, which makes a massive impact on their pack. And Noel in their back line.
But they brought in Dave Dennis, who is a good 6. He's a good, carries a big...
But they're playing Kai Horseman.
Yeah,
they've played Kai Horseman for years and he's never let them down.
If they do get Ben Morgan and Matt Kvesic...
Morgan good, Kvesic...
Not so good.
Yeah, but yeah. Salvi long in the tooth, Waldrum long in the tooth.
But, see, the way I see it, right, is they've got so many options now, particularly in the centres, they can't settle. They don't have a settled team and they don't know what to do. Slade's more of a problem than he's a help.
Devoto's been... arguably, Devoto, for that reason, that he's confused, Rob Baxter doesn't know what his starting lineup. Devoto, you could argue, has been the worst signing.
Yeah, for that reason. Definitely.
Not because he's played badly, I don't think he has.
No, nothing against Ollie Devoto, but just because it's like Rob Baxter now doesn't know what his best, team is.
He knows that his best centre pairing, most effective to win a game, is probably going to be Hill and Devoto. And he knows his most effective 10 is going to be Slade. But then he's got his player that everyone has just been speaking about as the future of England rugby for the last 3 years. And they can't get him in the team.
You meant Steenson.
What did I say?
You said Slade.
Steenson. So they can't get rid of Steenson because he is the heartbeat of the entire team.
We're repeating what we talked about last week, really, aren't we?
Yeah.
We are, very much so.
But it's just magnified again today.
Yeah.
But they've got, as all the teams do, they've got a few weeks where they can experiment a little bit more in the LV Cup, play some younger lads, and they can actually look, analyse what's been going wrong and what's been going right and correct it for their next game.
Do you know someone who's might have been looking at the LV Cup to get a bit of game time and a bit of form and a bit of fitness?
Mm-hmm.
Big Gav, but he's out injured. First game back.
11 minutes.
Big Gav lasted 11 minutes.
What happened to him? I didn't see it.
Shoulder.
Shoulder injury. Yeah, I've not seen it, but shoulder injury.
There goes the autumns. Another non-win against the All Blacks.
Yeah, and a very disappointing result for Bristol. I mean, that is Sail travelling to Ashton Gate is one of the games you have to target for a win.
Yeah, Sail or a... As I keep mentioning, the best team in the Premiership with ball in hand. But they don't travel well.
No, they travel terribly.
Yeah, so but they do play nice rugby and they can be a handful for anyone.
According to you, they play.
They do play nice rugby.
Based on no one else's definition of nice rugby, but one that you have manipulated to fit.
Because now you've met a couple of the boys and now you have to you have to eulogise about them at every opportunity.
I'm not going to name drop a player, but I was talking to one on Thursday, right? And we were talking about the differences between his new club and his old club. And
so it's someone who left Sale?
No.
Okay. So what's his point about Sale?
Huh?
What's his point about Sale then?
He says that they are incredibly well organised outside 10. So if you watch Sale play, what you see is you've got this little pattern. Then you've got a pattern off a pattern. It's basically the rugby league stuff. So do you know, like, you get a hard soft line followed again by another hard soft line?
Well, send our regards to Tom Brady next time you see him.
I can confirm it was not Tom Brady. But it was an ex-Sale player.
Okay,
right, all right. Come on, boys. Go on, Phil.
Shall we quickly mention the Pro 12?
If you want.
Yes, Friday night's game.
Well, I do not want to mention the Ulster game.
Well, let me mention this about the Ulster game. Munster snuck a win. Somehow Ulster managed to...
give away a 14-point lead at home in the second half.
And conspire to grab defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah.
Ulster took beers and protein shakes into the Munster dressing room after the game on Friday night. Basically means they were just as generous after the game as they were during the game to Munster. But yeah, there were beers had. I'm not sure about... I mean, I know it's 2016 now, isn't it? So I guess we should just get with it. But when the headline says, in a show of solidarity, Ulster took beers and protein shakes into the dressing room. Doesn't sound as good when you add the protein shakes, even though I understand they're professional athletes.
Yeah, need to refuel.
No, the headline should be, Ulster turned up the heating to max in the changing rooms. The showers were cold. They should do everything in their power to make it as unhospitable as possible.
Well, what they did, they've put up a plaque in memory of Axel Foley in the away dressing room.
Oh, have they?
Yeah, because Munster, in 2012, Ulster's first away game after the death of Nevin Spence was at Munster. And Munster put up a plaque to Nevin Spence.
Oh, is that right?
In their away dressing room. Yeah. So it's a really nice touch from Ulster, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd have done that after the game.
Well.
Yeah.
Whichever.
I'd have gone to win the game, and then I would have done it.
It's good. Very good, Jay.
Yeah.
Glad you got your priorities right.
Points.
Somehow Ulster managed to lose, but there were other talking points for the Pro 12, weren't there, Phil? We don't have to dwell on your Ulstermen.
Yeah. So there's two big talking points from Friday night. One was the Cardiff Scarlets game, which I've seen the highlights. It seemed like quite an open game, but it has one of the worst refereeing decisions I've ever seen.
Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre.
Describe that decision.
Try to get the correct way round. Scarlets have kicked through. One of the Scarlets players is chasing back. Sorry,
Shingler.
One of the Blues players is chasing back, who's closest to the ball and going to get the ball. But the two Shingler boys, one for each team, are both chasing back after him. And the Blues Shingler tackles the Scarlets Shingler off the ball. And the man who got tackled off the ball was given a yellow card.
Yeah, it was. At least he got one of the Shinglers.
That's all you can say.
Yeah.
What was the explanation?
Is it Shinglers or is it Shinglai?
Shinglai.
Did he just say that the other guy had tackled him off the ball?
Because, so he...
pulled him back, didn't he, or something?
Well, one tackled the other one, and then the person who was tackled fell into the man who was closest to the ball. So he didn't tackle him or anything, like he just got tackled into him, so ended up knocking the man who was closest to the ball over. So the referee must have not seen the actual tackle and seen the knocking over as the foul. It was just... But
that's why you have assistant referees to go, hey, listen.
Yeah, wrong way around.
You might have missed that, but
and that's why
I saw that.
Yeah. They didn't go to TMO,
that's
either.
Why it's the TMO, because...
And the referee was so... What's the word for it? The attitude that he had after he sent him off. He was so certain.
Yeah.
Off you go. Get off now.
Well, this is where we go back a couple of weeks, because whichever Shingler it was who got yellow carded was actually calling for the square in the air, the TMO. And this is, right, as a referee, I'm going to go to the TMO, but it's a yellow card for your signalling that, it's a yellow card, so it's doubled, it's a red card or nothing, so it's like double or quits.
Yep.
So you get a yellow card for signalling and the yellow card for the foul.
Or I reckon he goes. The guy signals for the TMO, which I again is like appealing, and I don't like it. So he goes, okay, well we'll go to the TMO. Do you know what, Aaron Shingler? You're quite right. That is not a yellow card for tackling off the ball. however, it is a yellow card for appealing for the TMO.
Brilliant.
Off you go.
No, brilliant. Well, I like the double or quits though. The opportunity
no,
to
but that's
back.
That's letting get away with appealing.
I've got
yeah, that's true.
I've got a rule change I want to see implemented immediately. If you have a penalty, right? Someone mentioned it today. There was a long distance kick, and I think it was missed by whoever's taking the kicks. For I think it was Exeter, right?
Steenson.
No, what's Exeter? It doesn't matter. And the commentator says, well, you know, it's a shot to nothing. You know, it's still going to be a drop off 22.
It wasn't a daily long distance lorry driver.
No, it wasn't. No. So the rule for this, right, should be if you take a kick and you miss it, it should be a scrum from where you take the kick to the other side.
Wow. So you're disincentivising going for the posts?
Yes.
Are you then incentivising giving away penalties?
That'd be the Jamie Roberts argument. He made the argument that if you weaken the penalty, or lessen the points from kicking, you're actually incentivizing cheating.
Yeah.
But actually, no, because you would still... I mean, you might actually end up with more points perversely.
Because you go for the corner more frequently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. I think I'm more keen on your no-knock-on rule.
No-knock-on, scrums from attempted kicks.
I still want to see a game with no-knock-ons.
I'd love to see it.
Well, it wasn't Bath Exeter today, that's for sure.
Well, no, that is for sure.
Talking of kicking for the corners... actually, should we go for Cornerstone first?
Oh, wow.
Very good.
Incredible. Yeah, we should talk about our sponsors, the people that make this podcast, this wonderful surroundings that you're looking at if you're streaming on Facebook yep. Live, or the fine audio quality you're listening in. These are the people that make it possible. Firstly, the finest mail order razor on the market. No. The finest razor you can get. You can get it mail order in a beautiful Cornerstone box delivered to you whenever you want in... with whatever products you want to go alongside it, and it's no obligation whatsoever. Give it a try. Find out why it's been voted the best razor above Wilkinson Sword, above Gillette. If you're using one of them, you're using an inferior product. Get the best and get it cheap as well because you listen to us. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers or...
Egg10 at checkout.
And you can get your first order from as little as £4. £4, that's like... price of a beer, and you can, with that order, you will get your free engraved aluminium German precision engineered shaft with your own initials engraved on it. So get involved, no obligation, like we say, but we know once you try it, you'll be hooked. Who else makes this podcast possible?
Beer 52, of course.
Beer 52, monthly order of craft ales.
Yeah, not disgusting salty kiss. That will not be part of your...
That was only at Phil's wedding, and...
apparently some salty kiss was drunk last night, was it, Phil?
I had a few last night.
Yeah, yes. Luckily I missed the salty kiss round. Thank God.
You just arrived for the bubbles.
Yes, I did.
So
Jonathan Joseph champagne fridge.
Yes, mostly poured on the floor.
Beer 52. If you want a fine selection of craft ales delivered to you monthly, then Egg20 is your code for a £20 discount on your first order. Try Beer 52. And finally, we're big fans of rugby, fantasy rugby draft. It's reinventing fantasy rugby, so you can play with a bunch of your mates and. Not only one person can have Alex Good or have Thomas Waldrum or George Cruz or whoever.
Joe Marchant, who scored a load of points for you
this
week.
Oh, Joe Marchant, yeah. What a boy. What a boy.
If you like your rugby but hate your family, I would sign up to Fantasy Draft immediately.
Hate doing anything out in the outside world.
Yeah.
If you like panicking on Friday about 12 o'clock, yeah. I recommend Fantasy Rugby Draft
now,
to anyone.
Bearing in mind I was on holiday... I got it in the neck when I was on my phone for about, it's around lunchtime because it was two p.m. Greek time.
Yeah,
was midday here, and the teams were out on Friday, and we were out in a restaurant. There was a bunch of us, and I was on my phone for about 45 minutes. Kate was going, "What are you doing?
I'm trading. Oh, I'm making a trade.
I just need to set my lineup. Just need to work it out. God, who am I going to trade? Yeah. So in the end, I didn't actually do a lot of tinkering this week. I just left it as it was. So I was getting so much stick for it. rightly so. Fantasyrugbydraft.com. They're good mates of ours. Bruce and the boys there have done a great job. We want to support it and make it the go-to fantasy league. If you put the word egg in your team name and egg in your league name, then Bruce and the boys at Fantasy Rugby Draft are going to create a little shortlist for us to give away stash.
Yes,
simple
exactly
as that.
Right. So precisely. And you can go back and change your name to Egg as well.
Over
50
people signed up last week, which is remarkable.
What off the back of it? Us?
Yeah, considering you need to actually organise leagues.
Yeah, well, now is a really good time. So you need to get 10 people, but you've got a couple of weeks break.
Didn't we have 600 people in our ESPN Fantasy League?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
That's the old school Fantasy League where it ends up where everyone has the same team.
I don't play them.
No, I don't play them anymore.
I take this very seriously.
Yeah,
this is
Jay does take this. Exceedingly serious, yeah. To the point where you frequently contact some players.
Phone calls are mostly made on Thursdays
to try and get the team sheets ahead of the actual official.
Which
release.
Is actually not allowed. That's unethical for the players to do that.
It is unethical. I completely agree. And you wouldn't divulge.
True story. I have asked for advanced team sheets, and you can't get them because the players have a clause in their contract saying they're not allowed to, well, give anything away, which can give
My brother's retired now. I knew when he was starting.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't say don't tell your family.
Before. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
But they do say don't tell podcasters who are only interested in fantasy leagues.
But I was disappointed in one person from Sale Sharks organisation who told me TJ Ioane would be back for the Bristol game. I wasn't happy about that when he's still not made an appearance. No. Head injury. Get well soon, TJ.
And this is the last bit of fantasy. You've got to remember, nobody cares about your fantasy league except for you.
Yeah.
It's just some of the most boring chat ever. Yeah, we're going to put it on the podcast anyway. But you've got to remember this. Sale might actually go out with a front row with two flankers classed as front rows.
Well, they'll have Cameron Neild.
And TJ Ioane.
TJ Ioane's not
Briggs. Briggs.
TJ Ioane's not classed as a front row.
No. Is he not?
No.
No, he's a back row.
Yeah, but I thought he's listed as a hooker.
No,
that's Cameron Neild.
That's Cameron Neild.
Anyway.
TJ Ioane is also a hooker.
No, he's not. How could Tim sign him then?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. This is boring fantasy rugby chat. Just get involved. And thank you very much to the people that make this podcast possible. And let's carry on with the podcast. Something that's quite light and will lift it. A rapid fire rugby social.
Let's go for it.
Rapid. Right, I've been keeping an eye on rugby players.
Ellis Genge.
And what they've been up to on Twitter. Ellis Genge.
Genge watch.
Got very excited about the thought of eating what? Was it a Melton Mowbray pork pie, a Kit Kat chocolate cake, or a chili beef hot dog?
Chili beef hot dog.
I know Brian Mujati recently, on his birthday, treated himself to a Melton Mowbray pork pie.
Did he?
Do you ever watch the Life of Brian?
No.
So his breakfast was a Melton Mowbray pork pie with a beer. He then went for a Wetherspoons breakfast, 1,500 calories.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Breakfast. On the way back from his 1,500 calorie breakfast, he stopped at McDonald's for a Big Mac.
What?
And then went to a bakery around the corner from there for like.
Because it was his birthday.
Yeah, he was treating himself.
His rule is, I quite like his rule. There's a barbecue joint in Manchester. I think they've got one in Leeds and they've now got one in London as well. It's called Reds. It's good. It's his favourite joint in Manchester. And he goes in there and his rule is, when he walks in the door, there's no rules. But then when he walks out, he's a professional athlete again. Oh, so he just has one table, a big platter of everything you can imagine. Gets through it all. What are you going for, Phil? Melton Mowbray pork pie?
I'm going for pork pie.
You're both wrong. It was a Kit Kat chocolate cake.
Oh, rubbish.
Which he tweeted a picture of to Lusa Vianu because he thought he'd appreciate it. Right, Mullet-Dickie got some stick online this week for what? Was it topless pictures? Was it his hairstyle? Was it his spelling?
Topless pictures.
Spelling. Yeah, I reckon he's got a similar sort of spelling age to me.
It was his spelling. He tweeted that he was excited about the Derby, spelled D-A-R-B-Y, with Bath, which got a lot of people.
Is that wrong, is it?
And he said, accepting a big game. Instead expecting. So, yeah, he got a bit of stick. Elliot Daly and Jamie George bonded over what? Well, whilst they were together on England duty in Portugal. By the way, who organised the flight for the England squad on Portugal to go on the day when there's three Premiership games
today? Sorry, just let me... back to the best job in rugby. Do a load of Premiership players have basically got 2 weeks off now?
They got next weekend off.
Yeah, so they're all flying on holiday now. They get 2 weeks off.
Yeah, of course, because he's not got LV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if that's not why in you England, don't. Yeah, that's why you don't want to be an England player.
Yeah.
Or you want to be a Hawaii. Or you want to be a fringe England player, so you just get a free trip to Portugal and.
Yes.
But then you still got to graft and work.
Yeah.
And then, train and work hard. What?
And go and get to wrestle like Ellis Genge and co.
Have your jaw broken.
Actually.
Yeah. So Elliot Daly and Jamie George bonded over what whilst on England duty in Portugal? Was it mocha drinks? Was it man bags or moisturiser? Quite a metro theme to those options.
Metro. Man bags, no. Mockers, almost certainly. Yeah, coffee with the boys.
Coffee's too obvious, though. I'm going to go man bags.
It was mocha.
Yes. Yeah. Am I winning this now?
Mocha boys, I think, was the hashtag they used.
And
Dave Ward
that
wore
is a barista chic. Yeah, special.
It really is.
That's our second album, Mocha Boy.
And finally,
debut hit single,
Mocha Boys. Oh wow! Right, finally, Dave Ward wore what to training this week? A or B? One of you can pick one. One of you can pick the other. Was it tight cut-off jean shorts, or was it a white wife beater vest?
Well, I've seen... I can't remember what Dave Ward was wearing, but they did Throwback Thursday. So the Quinns boys...
Ah, they did, didn't they?
...had a gym session on Thursday where they're all in, like, retro gear. Danny Kerr was dressed as Mr. Motivator.
It'd be weird, wouldn't it, if you work for Langer Rourke? You do work for Langer Rourke.
That's not too weird.
Yeah, but then you had a board meeting in Throwback AC stuff. Because they are in work, aren't they?
It is work time.
It's not like they're having a good time there.
It was a weight session.
It was a weight
session.
They
turned up for a weight session. Like Chris Robshaw was in like neon. He looked like he was going to roller disco.
Yeah.
Not doing a weight session.
It was incredible.
A procurement meeting.
Cut off jean shorts.
So JB gets the wife beater vest. You're both correct because he wore that was his combo with some Timberland boots.
Nice
for very village people for his for his weight session, which rounds off quite a metro rugby social.
Very good,
excellent. I enjoyed that.
Good.
So anyway, I started saying that I going to the corner. I wanted to talk about Newcastle. Versus Wasps.
Yes.
Anyone get to see this?
No, I watched the Bath game.
I've seen a couple of clips. Mickey Young diving.
Yes. This is such a good example, isn't it, of bad teams staying bad. Wasps were up 17-3. Eventually, Newcastle got to 17-6. Then they had a penalty right in front of the sticks. And they decided to go for the corner.
How long was left at this stage?
About 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And furthermore, they looked like a good team. They had about a 20-minute stretch where they had, well, from what I could see, Wasps completely on the ropes. And it's only really that what's-his-face, centre, keeps on getting injured, now fit.
Waldock.
Only that he didn't make a pass, that they didn't score.
Mm.
So... it just is a classic example of bad decision making and just a poor team continuing to be poor, and that is the reason.
They are playing against Wasps away, who are a very good team.
Also, in the first six rounds of the Premiership, I actually think they've been one of the. I think their improvement has been one of the stories of the Premiership so far. Three home wins.
Yeah, they're on three wins.
Yeah. Not until they win away, I don't think. And
Exeter have won two games.
That's a good point.
Gloucester have only won one.
Yeah.
And Worcester and Bristol, who are of those three clubs who we expect to be down there, have won 1 and 0 respectively.
Yeah, I was looking at my pre-season predictions. The only one I definitely got right so far is Gloucester. Everything else was a little bit wayward, particularly my prediction on Bath, and also my theory that Northampton could win the whole thing.
Yeah, and Exeter as well. Sale are in the top six at the moment, though.
Yep, Sale are, because they play the nicest rugby in the league.
I'm not sure about that prediction.
Absolutely positive. Absolutely positive. And Odogwu scored again.
He did. He's looking very handy.
Mm.
Quick mention as well, Pro 12.
Yep.
The other Friday night game.
Of course.
Edinburgh, who I'm actually up there this coming Friday to watch Ulster. They lost at home. To Zebre, first time
Right, zebra hold on. Is it zebra? Is it zebra? Is it zebra? Is it any of the above?
Yeah, zebra. Go with zebra.
You know what team I mean, don't you?
We know what team, yeah, I know. Just like
black and white horse team.
Yeah, why are they named after, you know, a non-offensive herbivore? It's no wonder that they lose.
They're not aggressive enough.
Yeah, can you think of a weirder animal to name your? Actually, do you know what?
There's a lot of.
Springboks are pretty weak, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, springboks are elusive and powerful and rapid. They're kind of not like if you were going to pick an animal that should be on a South African badge when they're like big, meaty, aggressive,
buffalo.
Confrontational men. It should be like a buffalo or a bison or a
hippo
or a hippo or a rhino.
Rhino. But I guess there is some, you know, something cool about a springbok. I guess there's nothing cool about zebras.
No, zebra. The whole design, the whole reason they've evolved is so that you don't see them. They can hide.
Yeah, it's incredibly weak, isn't it? Because predators see in black and white. Yeah. So the whole point is that the zebras all crowd together and you can't see the outline of the zebra.
Yeah.
Weak, very weak.
Yeah, very weak. It's like, please don't hurt me.
Yeah.
That's the whole kind of, yeah, that's not,
but it's
that's
also
not cool.
It's also a strategy for survival, which entails some people necessarily being eaten. So you accept that some of the group die.
So what's
the rest of it?
What's weaker than a zebra in terms of international team nicknames? So the wallaby,
Edinburgh Grassland is what it should be called now, because they are the yeah. They are what zebra eats.
Munch on. Well, zebra could eat to Japan the cherry blossoms.
You can't even ride a zebra. That's how useless it is.
That's a pretty weak nickname.
Yeah, it is.
But. Terrible performance by Edinburgh. A great win by Zebra. So I'm hoping that Ulster can actually pull their fingers out and win this coming weekend. Yeah, pretty miserable if I go
even there, without their internationals.
Do you know we said earlier on as well about Louis Pickermore being the best signing of the year? What would Gloucester be without Matt Scott?
Yeah, he looks great.
Ex-Edinburgh lad. He's about the only thing in Gloucester that works.
You dropped him from your fantasy team.
He's on my bench, yeah. I went for James Wilson, who did absolutely nothing.
You can't talk any more about our own fantasy team.
Yeah, sorry.
So you're up to Edinburgh.
Yeah, this coming Friday.
You looking forward to it?
Very much so.
Taking your Ruan shirt.
I will be wearing my Ruan shirt. It's a bit tight, my Ruan shirt. It's a two-man job to get me into and out of
it. If I work another Ulster game, can I take that? I'll take that shirt and get him to sign it, because it'll be
that'd be awesome.
It'll be an antique this time next year.
Yeah, it will be. I'll be getting a new shirt this time next year.
Won't you just go and support Montpellier?
Maybe. No, I'll be getting a Sir Charles.
Oh, nice
shirt, Pierre Towel, or maybe a Curtsier shirt, or even a Hendo shirt. Oh, there's some.
For all the,
have to think.
I'd go for Stuart McCloskey shirt. He's my favourite Ulster player.
McCloskey or Jackson. A few years ago, it would have been Tommy Bowe.
Is he playing much at the moment?
Yeah,
he was on the bench last week against Exeter.
Now does Tommy Bowe go to the Lions?
Started this week. He needs to get some form back.
But he's a perennial Lion. He's been a Lion for. Is it two tours straight?
Yeah, two tours.
Mm. Mm.
Sean O'Brien as well.
He's never not been picked when
Keane Healy, Sean O'Brien and Tommy Bowe, three Irish internationals who need to watch out if they want to actually get on that Lions tour.
Well, Sean O'Brien played this weekend.
Yeah, how'd he get on?
They won. It was a good victory. I believe Dan Levy got man of the match. So another flanker. So obviously Sean O'Brien was outperformed by young upstart Dan Levy.
I think Sean O'Brien... I don't know why everyone is obsessed with keeping them in Ireland. I mean, they've only got a finite amount of money, and yes, they should definitely keep the bigger stars. But I just think the cost of keeping them, why don't you just let them go somewhere and not play for an English team and then work with Levy and everyone else underneath them?
Mm.
He's not done anything for 2 years.
Yeah, it's the potential, isn't it? And it's that hope of getting him back fit, back to where he was.
I mean, the people in the IRFU just must be watching game tape from 3 years ago, just hoping that one day he gets back to his best.
But I'm trying to think the last time I saw him in an Ireland shirt, a couple of years ago in the Six Nations, where he had a a run of form, and he was absolutely outstanding. He was brilliant. So it's just getting him fit. That's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, I just don't think rugby nearly values enough players that don't get
consistently
injured.
Consistently fit, yeah. Yeah.
Like Leicester, who have got... Let's just play a game here. Do you reckon 700 or 700K on injured inside centres now?
Yes.
Minimum.
At least.
Whoa.
At least.
Probably more like the 800.
Yeah. It doesn't say much for the amount of salary cap spend that they can spend on the third guy.
Well, don't you get injury money?
Relief.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
But then, who can you bring in at that time? And that's a problem, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that's the problem. Like, Saracens now cannot bring in a second row.
Yeah.
Someone who's going to be good enough to play into that.
It isn't necessarily about the money. It's because you can replace them. It's about the cohesiveness of the squad.
Yeah.
So if you brought someone in and they've trained in that position and all your patterns are based around them. And, you know, Manu is irreplaceable in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah. Because virtually no other centre in the world can do what he does.
Mononu, maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Not anymore.
Bastereau?
No. No.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, only aspects of what you can do, I guess.
Yeah, because don't forget...
He's faster than both those boys.
Yeah, Tuilagi played on the wing for England against New Zealand. So I wouldn't fancy putting Bastereau on the wing.
I'd like to see it.
I'd like for England to play France if Bastereau's on the wing.
Right, one story that caught my eye. It's the mystery has been put to bed about who put Michael Checker in hospital. So Michael Checker's delayed his journey to Europe. He was forced to delay his journey and not travel over with the rest of the squad. You all right, JB?
Yeah, fine.
Because he had to have a shoulder operation. Now, it was all hush-hush about exactly what had happened, but it turns out Nick Frisby let slip at a charity dinner that it was Israel Folau going up to catch a highball, then landed on Michael Checker and put him in hospital.
Wow.
As coaches' injuries go, that is... quite embarrassing, but certainly less embarrassing than Warren Gatland's heels.
Oh, yeah.
Which is undoubtedly the most embarrassing injury.
Yeah, Warren Gatland's heels, right? I mean...
falling off a ladder.
Yeah, he was falling off and then jumped to try and save himself.
It's almost like, isn't it? Do you know when you didn't go out on Saturday nights because you were too young?
Yeah.
And you ended up watching Casualty?
Yeah,
and you can kind of see it, you know, all developing. He's got the rickety ladder.
Yeah,
he's trying to balance paint on his shoulder.
Something's distracting him.
Yeah,
and the dog's barking in the yard.
Yeah.
He's got game. He's got game film playing in his lounge. He's trying to watch through the window.
There's some kids shouting and playing in a field, and he's shouting, "Shut up!"
Yeah,
and like they're over there, and oh yeah. He's got a little he's got a little portable TV just on the gutter, up on his
and
roof.
You've got to remember he's easily shaken, and he lives underneath a flight path. Yeah, so that's basically what happened.
That was ridiculous. What are we going to talk to Warren Gatland about when we meet him on Tuesday?
I don't know how much access we'll get to him or what he'll be like, or I just can't. No, I've got an image of him being, and I'm probably completely wrong here, because everyone I've met so far in rugby has been absolutely delightful. Everyone tends to be really approachable, except for Steve Diamond. He's not. But I'm just scared to talk to him. I've got a feeling that...
Because you're just going to come out with, "Hi, Steve. I love you.
I love you, Steve.
I love you, Steve.
Why are you great, Steve?" I asked him two questions in the media room. It's good fun.
Very good.
I've had the Diamond Death stare in a post-match chat. Oh my word.
No, that's not the future of the team. Oh, okay. What did I ask him? I'll come back to that another time. He strikes me as quite a cold character, very serious, harsh, cold character. Maybe I'm completely wrong, I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. We need to have a think. If anyone's got any ideas.
We've got any Gatland questions.
At Rugby Podcast on Twitter, let us know. Or on Facebook, drop us a message on there. We did have quite a good British and Irish Lions 15 that was sent to us on Facebook that was players who are available to play for the British and Irish Lions who weren't born in the British and Irish Lions.
Oh, excellent. Like Jimmy Gopeth.
So,
if he is available.
A disgrace, an abomination 15.
Well, no, because some of them, like Jamie Heaslip,
oh,
for
right,
example,
okay.
who was born in Israel, I think.
Oh, right, no, game on.
Yeah.
Oh, game
so
on.
Some of them are...
So it's not Nathan Hughes who's technically eligible.
Some of them are, like, people...
He will be a Lion.
He's in there, but there are... It does include people who were
Falatels.
Just born. Yeah, Falatels and the Vunipolas.
Oh, okay, all like. Fine. So it's fine, yeah. That's a combination. Cool. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right, should we have a little quiz?
Yeah. And
then do it, Philip.
Run through next week's games to wrap this thing up.
Well, are there any games other than Ireland in Chicago?
Yes, there are.
Oh, good. You all right, JB?
Yeah, fine. It's amazing, isn't it, how much money you spend on bloody gadgets and none of them ever work. Ever.
It's Facebook Live, not
Facebook Live's down, so that's the end of that.
Oh, well, okay. So you got a quiz, Philip?
I have.
Oh, but just on, I was just going to wrap up the Izzy Falau chat. Michael Chicker, the only other thing he said was, well, he said two things. He said when he told his wife that he's having a shoulder operation and he's done his shoulder in, she said, "Oh my God, is the player okay?" and he's also said that he wants Izzy Falau at least in one
dead.
In at least one game to play outside centre.
Interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, because Kurandrani's not been playing particularly well recently. No.
And they've got trouble at 12 anyway.
Yeah.
So they've is Tamua available for? I mean, he's not now, obviously.
No. He would have been available selection, presumably.
Yeah, so Tamua's out.
I wonder if they've got anyone who they can bring in on debut.
Reese Hodge, will he have a look in?
Yeah, he could well be starting 12.
And the only other final thing is Michael Checker turned down a piece... an offer of a beer
with
Steve Hansen. Steve Hansen said, "Let's sit down, have a beer." And Michael Checker, because obviously there was the whole New Zealand Herald newspaper made Checker a clown.
Yeah,
and they've been giving him a lot of stick. And Steve Hansen's been saying that he's just hijacked the Bledisloe celebrations. Blah blah blah. Anyway, so Steve Hansen said, "Let's sit down, have a beer." And Michael Checker's response was, "I don't drink alcohol at the minute, mate."
Wow.
Yeah.
Cold. So,
yeah.
That is cold.
So, quiz.
Okay. Pens and papers ready?
Kind of, well, yeah.
Notepad on phone ready.
Notepad on phone, JB.
Notepad phone.
Okay, first question. Which Harlequins rugby player models Burton's big and tall range?
Easy. Okay. Next.
Which Hollywood movie did AJ McGinty appear in alongside Angelina Jolie?
Oh, I don't know any Johnny movies really. Don't know.
Tim's typing away furiously. That's one you either know it or you don't.
Yep.
Another film related one. Who played Robbie Coltrane's body double in the Harry Potter films?
Easy.
I think that is an easy one.
Yep.
Which rugby league club did Marika Koroibete, who is just been called up to the Wallabies, so he's in the Wallabies squad now and might make his debut before making a club appearance, so he might make his international debut ahead of his club debut.
For who? Sorry, say again.
So the question is...
Yeah, sorry, say the question again.
Which rugby league club did Marika Koroibete play for until this season?
JB, what is going on? Are you all right?
No, this... I don't know.
You're going to have to repeat the question again.
Which rugby league club did
Marika
Koroibete play for until this season? And he is on the Wallabies tour and might... He was apparently the fastest man in the NRL.
I want loads of fastest men in the NRL. I mean, I think I know about seven now.
Well, he was the one last season, apparently.
I hear this at almost about every Australian rugby player. So, Lockie Turner is definitely the fastest man in all of Australia.
He was, but that wouldn't have been the NRL, would it? He doesn't play
I'm sure I hear this about almost every convert that comes over.
Okay. Who was the last one you heard it about?
I don't know. Probably one that you talked to me about.
Okay, next question. Which Avicii Premiership club shares the same name as an Australian basketball team?
What's the name?
Shares the same name. I can't tell you the name. Like,
which, the whole name or the nickname?
It shares the same name as an Australian basketball team.
Oh, God.
Which Avicii Premiership?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Next question. Which member of the England squad, this current England squad, is diabetic?
There's a diabetic in the England squad?
There is.
Huh.
And until... I'll give you a bonus point, actually, because until a couple of seasons ago, there would have been two diabetics, or there was another diabetic in the England squad. So I'll give you a bonus point if you can name that player as well.
Hmm. No idea. Next question.
Which All Black, who's currently in Chicago, is a US national?
Which All Black
is a US national?
Is a US, that's an interesting one, isn't it? Ah. Okay. Oh. Right.
Final question.
Yep.
Name Ollie Barkley's professional rugby clubs.
All of them. There a are, point each.
There are six available.
Yes.
There are six points available. Minus points for any incorrect answers. Good. Negative scoring.
Do you want individual clubs or stints at these clubs?
There are 6 points available, Jay.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Okay. Okay.
Hang on. I'm just nailing these 6 points.
I've got four of them, and I'm absolutely certain of. Oh no, he went there. That's five.
I've got five, and the last one is tough. I think I've got it as well, and I've not spelt it right, but that's fine. Is there one more? Is there one? Are you sure there's only six?
Yes.
He had two stints with. With the main club.
Yeah. Okay.
Mm. Okay. All right. All your questions, answers down.
Yeah.
I'm just recounting. Yes, definitely six. Right. First question: which Harlequins rugby player models Burton's big and tall range?
Got to be Jamie Roberts.
Jamie Roberts is what I've written down.
Incorrect.
Because I know Mike Phillips did some stuff, so I thought maybe it was a Welsh thing.
I thought he's big and he's tall, and he's quite famous.
It is Tim Visser.
Okay.
Next question: which Hollywood movie did AJ McGinty appear in alongside Angelina Jolie?
Alexander the Great.
Is correct.
Yeah, it's just
didn't even know that she made that film. There you go.
You know it or don't.
Yeah, 1-0 in 2004.
Yeah,
it was.
Wow.
When he was a kid. Next question. I think you've both got this. Robbie Coltrane's body double in Harry Potter.
Bafes.
Correct. 2-1 to Tim. Which Avicii Premiership club shares? Oh, sorry, I've got ahead of question there. Which rugby league club did Marika Koroibeti play for?
No idea.
Gold Coast Titans.
So I'm going to guess Sydney, South Sydney Rabbitohs.
Both incorrect. He's gone to the Melbourne Rebels, and it was the Melbourne Storm that he's gone from.
Mm. Hang on, was that just a pure rugby league question there?
Well, he's now a rugby union player.
He's now a rugby union player, and people are getting very, very excited about him.
Yeah, so if you'd have known that he'd gone to the Melbourne Rebels, because that's a rugby union club, you could have worked it out.
Got him.
Which Avicii Premiership club shares the same name as an Australian basketball team? It's now a defunct Australian
basketball
team.
I just guessed Newcastle Falcons.
Newcastle Falcons is what I went for.
Is correct.
Damn it! Yes. Yes. Newcastle's a big town, so...
Yeah.
God damn it.
They've got a good AFL side.
So, Tim, you're still 1 point in the lead.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure I know the next one.
Okay. Diabetic in the England squad, JB?
No idea.
Chris Pennell is diabetic.
Is... the bonus point. He's not currently.
Oh, he's not the one.
He's not.
Hang on, hang
squad.
On. This is like the bonus ball in the lottery. It only counts if you have the if you have the other balls.
I just thought he was still in the England squad, but he's only just come back fit.
Think what you like, mate.
Chris Pennell. I know he was. I'm gonna say.
If you're not gonna it down, I'm going to give you a point for Chris Pennell.
Thank you. It's a bonus point.
I make the rules. I'm in charge.
I won't have a point for this, but I'll guess that it's Joe Simpson.
Incorrect.
Well, that's a good one.
Henry Slade.
There you go.
Which All Black is a US national?
It might be Israel Dagg.
Okay.
Snoop Dagg.
Snoop Daggy Dagg. Well, that reminds me, I edited Wikipedia this week.
Did you? Are you one of those nerds?
Well, no.
Someone had to do it. I didn't know someone so close.
But Phil won't do it to have a laugh. He'll do it to make everything right again.
Well, let's see if it's been edited back, actually, because I was on Sam James's Wikipedia page, and it didn't have...
I always wondered what one of these perverts looked like.
Sam James, Wikipedia, here we go. It didn't have his nickname on... Yes, there we go. So I edited it to put his nickname on there.
What is his
but
nickname?
There wasn't a nickname section. There was only an occupation section. So I've put his occupation as King of Wilmslow.
Oh, good man.
And I tried to do the same for Lord Hammer of Hammershire, but he doesn't actually have a page.
What?
You have to create an account in order to...
Maybe that could be our new thing.
Create a page.
Maybe we need to get one of our listeners to do a page for a player. Properly do it. Yeah. Nothing annoys me more than when I go onto a player's page and it's not there.
Yeah.
Right, so Newcastle Falcons fans, someone do a Simon Hammersley page and it has to be Lord Hammer of Hammershire.
Well,
definitely.
Sam Bedlow had his first start today, or his first appearance for sale. I have no idea about the guy. Someone do a page.
Yeah.
Tom Curry got his first try.
Yeah, first try, yeah.
Yeah. So, anyway, back to the quiz.
Yeah, so you went for...
I didn't have any answer for this.
So, he was born in American Samoa, so... entitles him to be
Fekitoa, but I'm only guessing now.
No, he's Tongan.
Oh yeah.
And he actually said that if he hadn't moved to New Zealand and become an All Black, he would have joined the US Army. It's Jerome Kano.
Wow. Like
that is Universal Soldier.
Yeah, yeah. as if the American military is not terrifying enough.
Yeah. So no points. So Tim, you're
still got a point lead.
2 point
two
lead.
2 point lead.
Because of your Chris Pennell.
Oh, well, I've won this then, because I've got 5 out of 6 for Ollie Barkley.
If you've got them, because there could be some negative points.
This is a farce. This is an absolute farce.
Well, Bath, obviously.
Yep.
So you both got Bath for 1 point each.
Yeah. And then he controversially moved to Gloucester.
Mm-hmm. So. Why does no one talk about... Why does everyone say he controversially moved, but no one ever talks about...
Tyndall.
Controversially moved.
They do say that. Yeah.
They do say he controversially moved.
Do they?
Atwood moved the other way. That was. They were pretty sore about that at the time.
And Atwood.
Rightly so.
Did
James Hudson retire this week?
Yeah.
The Ruck Inspector is gone.
The Ruck Inspector's gone. Yeah. What a shame.
I thought he'd retired years ago, to be
honest. I mean, he retired from competitive rugby quite some time ago. I mean, there's no two ways about that.
He retired from actually hitting rucks about 2004, I think.
Oh, what a shame. I quite liked him.
Dave Atwood is good one of the guy. Very few players who's played for Bristol, Bath and Gloucester.
Is that right? Did Little? No, Little did... Or Small? Was it Small or Little? The centre? Australian centre?
Not
Little.
No. Jason Little, he played for Bristol, definitely. Maybe he did play for all three.
And Gloucester.
So Gloucester, Bath, obviously there was London Welsh... Racing Metro.
So, yes,
it was
correct.
At the time, not Racing 92.
Yeah.
And then I've got Scarlets.
I've got all of those.
Have you got Scarlets, Jay?
Of course I've got Scarlets. They're ridiculous.
But I don't know anymore.
I think the last one was... Well, I've lost it anyway. It doesn't matter. Grenoble.
Is correct.
Oh, well played, Jay.
Boom.
So, Tim wins by one.
Yeah.
God damn it.
But... According to JB's rules,
I should have won.
You draw. Well, you draw.
Yeah.
I'd take a draw.
But
here.
Tim actually wins.
No, I'd take a draw.
But in your head, to comfort you, Jay.
We mentioned Snoop Dagg, and Julian Survey was busting some more moves in Chicago this week. He was out with a little busker who was doing some drumming, and he was just doing loads of breakdancing dance moves in Chicago.
It's not cool, boys. It's not cool.
Hey, bro. It's cool, bro. It's cool, bro. I'm good at dancing, bro. Me and Ardy do some dancing, bro.
It's weird.
They're all at a basketball game as well.
They were at the Bulls, weren't they?
on our Twitter account, we posted a nice picture of them with some cheerleaders, if you've seen that.
Yeah. Yep, I've seen that. Insert your own witticism here. Is Aaron Smith on? I mean, I've got to mention him. Did he go to Chicago?
Aaron Smith.
He did go to Chicago. Yes.
He's not going to miss that.
No. He's not with the squad. He's phoned out separately.
Someone else who's having a big weekend is someone that London Irish call Fijian Joe.
Yes.
To give him his proper name, Joe Cocan Signa. Have I said that right?
Don't know.
You've said it better than me or Jay Wood.
Cocan Signa. I don't know if that's how you say it.
I'm not your guy here, mate.
He was in London.
Cocan
Signa. Cocan Signa. He was in the London Irish under 18 side last year and made his debut for London Irish today against London Scottish in the Championship and ran from his own 22 to score on debut with an incredible solo try.
Which is incredibly impressive for an 18-year-old, but an 18-year-old who is 6'4 and 114 kg. Well, as a winger.
Friend of the pod and listener, Ben Stack, who is a huge London Irish fan, put me onto this guy ages ago. And, you know, I was like, can I do? I was like, yeah, sure. But it seems like this guy might be the real deal. And he's in the England under-20s too.
Yeah, he's been England under-18s, England under-20s.
114
kg, so he's 18 stone.
Good
at
God.
18 years old, but he can clearly shift because he's gone for a length of the field.
I've got that game recorded, so I might go
have
back
you?
And watch it. Yeah,
I'd quite like to see that try.
Yeah,
I'd quite like to see some highlights of him. Well, that's one to look out for.
Yeah,
Bolter for the Lions.
Nah. Wow,
wow, that's a bold call. Like it.
That was not a call. That was a question mark, and not a serious one.
So what's happening this weekend then?
So, I've just lost my tab with it all on. Let me get it up again. So it's Autumn Internationals will continue, I guess, because we had Bledisloe 3, which is always the start of the Autumn Internationals.
The most pointless game in the rugby calendar. What's more pointless, Bledisloe 3 or the England-Wales pre-tour match, which they did this year?
Which is a non-cap match with half the players missing because it's the day after the Premiership and Pro Tour finals.
Which one is more pointless?
Probably the non-cap match.
Yeah, Bledisloe 3 is bloody awful.
It's just another chance for New Zealand to rub Australia's face in it. Wind Michael Chica up a little bit more. So
now there is one game this week I am phenomenally interested in.
Wales-Australia?
Nope.
Ireland, New Zealand?
No.
United States versus the Maori All Blacks?
No.
Barbarians versus South Africa?
Definitely not.
Japan, Argentina?
Correct.
Yeah.
I am particularly interested in that as well, actually. So that's happening in Tokyo at about 11 o'clock at night on the Saturday night.
Perfect.
I don't know if it's going to be on TV anywhere.
It must be somewhere, right?
That'll be, yeah, it must be available somewhere, but that'll be a very, very interesting test for Japan. Because we had a full year without Eddie Jones. It'll be very interesting to gauge their progress. And obviously you've got an Argentina team who are a very strong team. They won't have their European players, but they played the Rugby Championship and played reasonably well in the Rugby Championship without their European players. So it'll be a good test, that. Interesting game.
Next game?
Well, Friday night, which is on BT Sport, United States versus the Maori All Blacks.
Oh, I can't watch this.
Which is, well, this is the kind of game that the United States should have.
No, it's not the quality of the game. It's the fact I'm not there.
Oh, right, you want to, yeah.
I can't,
so last
I can't
time,
stomach it.
Last time it was, oh.
Oh.
So good.
Well, because you and your selfish wedding with your selfish holiday allowance, otherwise we would have gone.
I know. I'm sorry.
Are you really? Okay, fine.
I am sorry because I wanted to go.
Not that much, Phil. Not that much.
Should we look at cheap flights now and just do it?
I would go.
That's a myth. Flights don't get cheaper the closer you get to it. It's all about booking them early, Phil.
Okay.
which means like blooming well, Premiership Rugby, hurry up and confirm a New York
We've
game.
Got a venue for a live show. We've even got some fans, believe it or not. You know, we've got everything ready to go, except for the guys who are going to play rugby.
Yes.
They don't know if it's going to happen or not, which is rubbish, really, because if you're going to plan your trip to New York, it's a fairly hefty bit of expenditure.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to know early.
Yes.
So hopefully they'll release it. They'll let us know, I don't know, 2 weeks before. That would be superb.
Of the other games, so there's only really two, well, excluding the Japan-Argentina game,
mm-hmm.
there's two big games. That's Ireland-New Zealand, which is Soldier Field. Hopefully they actually open more than just two doors.
Yeah, well, we went, right, and there was literally...
We almost missed kickoff. There were thousands of people.
Yeah.
Just because none of the doors were open.
But it was a full stadium.
Yeah, yeah.
Full stadium with no open doors.
Yeah. God knows what would happen if there was a fire. Because getting in there was an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, we missed all the patriotic fireworks. Did they have a flyover?
They had a flyover. We walked onto the pitch just as the hacker was taking place.
Oh, well, you know, the sheer amount of GDP that America must waste on flyovers is staggering.
Fireworks, flyovers. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Does anyone think that Ireland have got a realistic chance of beating New Zealand?
No.
No.
Well, they've got a chance.
They almost did it 2 years ago.
Yeah, they did. They
last
went
play
a
of the
huge,
game.
Huge nah. lead.
Yeah.
They blew it.
Nah.
Well, do you know what? I'm going to say there is a chance based on the fact that the current opposition in the championship are just not very good. That's New Zealand's
yep.
opposition. And Ireland are quite a powerful team. So if they... I mean, New Zealand have not been scored against for so long now that I think they've almost forgotten what it's like to be under pressure.
And Ireland went away to South Africa in the summer and beat them. Their Six Nations performance this year wasn't as good as their previous two years, but they won it the previous 2 years. Mm. This is Ireland are short of a couple of injuries. Hendo might not be fit because he got carried off the other week. Sean O'Brien and Keane Healy, Keane Healy's back. They're both back now, fit but not properly fit. So they're not. They're a good side. They've got a lot of key personnel in place. This is as good a chance as they will get to beat New Zealand.
Yeah.
But I still don't think they
well,
will.
You've also got to remember, I don't know if it's going to make much of a difference. I know the All Blacks are very popular anywhere in the world. They're a world sporting brand. But didn't they dye the river running through Chicago green for St. Patrick's Day?
They do. They do every year, don't they?
Yeah, so it's almost going to be like a home
yeah.
game for Ireland. And maybe there might be some quite strong Irish support there.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Hmm.
I am going for a New Zealand win.
I think
I would love
mad
to,
not to.
I would love to see an Ireland win.
Yep.
I think it would be important for the sport if Ireland got a win. And then Wales, Australia.
Mm.
So Wales are on a run of 11 consecutive defeats against Australia.
I think Wales can win. I think they should win, but I don't think they will.
Mm. Australia. Two weeks ago, they got hammered.
What are Australia bringing? I mean,
good question. They've got injuries all over the place. They've got disrupted backline, disrupted forwards pack. They've not been playing particularly well in the rugby championship.
A coach with no shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah. And a coach who has been fallen out with Steve Hansen, blaming referees, blaming the media, blaming anyone but the players, which I quite like to a degree.
Oh,
taking
boys.
The pressure off the players, but
we need... I don't know when we're going to do it. We might even do it this week if we can arrange a time. We need to get back in touch with the Green and Gold lads.
Yeah, they've been on. So we need to... We might try and sort it out for one day this week.
Yeah, we'll do that. Shall we?
Yeah.
Good.
Sounds good.
Game on.
Definitely.
I think Wales are going to sneak this one.
I think they might do.
I hope so. I really hope so.
But then there's this almost like a curse or a jinx or something stopping them.
I think
because they've been so close so many times.
They haven't had an Australia side this poor coming to play it in Wales
are they that poor,
for a
though?
Long time yet.
Are they that poor? Or
relatively speaking.
Just make everyone look terrible?
No, they are. Well, we're going to find out, aren't we? But
yeah.
I think they are.
But New Zealand comfortably beat Wales three times.
We're in year one of a four-year cycle. And, I mean, Australia will be... 2019, they'll be contenders, but they're poor by their standards at the moment. So
yes.
I think Wales are going to do them.
Mm.
I'm going to go for a very close game. I think you're right, Wales probably should win. I'm going to say that they're going to trip up.
They're going to somehow conspire,
like in the World Cup game where Faletau drops the ball over the line, and even though Australia have two men in the bin, they can't exploit an outside gap.
Yeah, I'm with you.
But what I do hope from that game is that we actually see a bit more of the attacking intent that Wales brought to New Zealand.
JB hopes to see much less of that.
Yeah, a lot less.
Direct to Jamie Roberts running.
Genuinely, the most exciting bit for me in rugby are days like today when Bath are camped on someone's line. And twice it's happened with Bath, and it's scrum after scrum after scrum. That is so exciting. That and a good defensive standard, the two most exciting plays in rugby.
I am glad, though, that the final try was as good as it was in that Bath Exeter game.
Yes.
And it was a little bit of brilliance by George Ford, who just, he looked for the pass and then he straightened a little bit, and Ian Whitten stepped in and he fired the flat miss pass to Rocco. Brilliant. Yeah. Wonderful stuff.
So that is your international rugby this weekend. There is LV Cup and stuff,
which I'll probably try and watch a little bit.
Yeah,
but we're just not going to preview.
Is there one game in there that we should look out for?
Well, there's a couple that
I suppose you wouldn't know until the team sheets are out.
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's not even on the BBC rugby fixture list.
Well, the thing is,
the LV Cup,
like all the rivalries, go out the window because no one cares. So the only time you actually, it's for instance, if there's an exciting young player you want to watch, well, then that is interesting. Or if you're interested in your team's second string, but until you see the team sheets, you've got no idea.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it is. It's that step up from the A League on a Monday night to slightly more serious, and you'll get players coming back in, or players who are senior players who haven't been playing, haven't been making the first 15.
Yeah, not a huge fan of the LV Cup. Gonna have to say
there is a full Pro 12 fixture list this coming weekend, though.
Yeah,
and as I mentioned, I'll be up in Edinburgh.
Pro 12. Yeah.
So if you see someone. A short lad wearing a Ruin Pienaar top.
Are you okay getting a ticket for that game?
Yes. Why?
Well, you know, they're in the
at Murrayfield. Yeah, yeah. 4,000 crowd in a 60,000 seater stadium.
I'm sure they stand on the pitch on Murrayfield, don't they?
I don't. I'm not sure.
I think there's like a little basically a rope, and you stand behind the rope on the pitch because there's so few of you.
Well, Bath Leicester. I know what you're talking about with the. I'm working at this one. Bath Leicester is Friday night,
mm-hmm.
In the LV Cup. Quinn's Exeter. I think there'll be a lot of good young players on show in those. So
yeah,
those would be the ones I'd keep my eye on if I were you.
Yeah, I think you probably
right. They're the two live games. So good. Right, good work.
Well done.
Good work.
Well done all round, except for Facebook Live. Farce. With stupid Wi-Fi.
Go on, sign off, JB. You take us home.
Yeah, you can find us at I keep saying the Rugby Podcast. That's a completely different podcast, and don't follow them. Or you can follow them. They're good guys, good guys too.
Just not as good.
Yeah, just not as good, I guess. At Rugby Podcast, follow us on like our Facebook page, and go and check out the sponsors, Cornerstone and Beer 52. And I guess we'll see you all maybe midweek if we do something with Green and Gold
and Warren Gatland.
And oh, of course, and Warren Gatland. So if you've got any questions for Warren, send them over, and we'll consider
Warren G
using them, and if we do use them, we won't give you any credit.
Yeah.
So until next week, boys, I'll see you then.
Later.
Bye.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.